Oliver Platt.
They should have got the guy that played Jabba the Hutt.
He's really changed.
They should have got the guy that played Jabba the Hutt and when he shot the original footage from Star Wars.
I'm sure that guy's
dead. Anyway,
so my whole take on the fourth one.
What was the little fucker's name? I looked it up the other night.
Salacious Crumb?
Salacious Crumb, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you remember that from when I looked it up?
No, I wasn't there. I just know.
He knows the name of the Rancor Master.
Mulcahy the Rancor Keeper?
I didn't know that.
I was just hoping you would say that because I have no idea what that is.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that there was a Rancor Master.
Yeah, you know the bartender. The bartender at the cantina is named Wooher.
Yeah, in Jabba's palace.
Wait, the bartender
is Wooher.
What's the guy? What's the elephant guy who plays the piano's name?
Oh,
I used to have the toy. What's his name?
Yeah,
that's Max Rebo.
Yeah, dude, he's blue.
He's blue. The blue elephant, Max Rebo.
This guy knows the names.
Yeah, dude, my girlfriend has a figure of that. A little figure.
Let me ask you. Girlfriend knows. She knows what's up.
Who shot first?
She
did.
She's got so many Star Wars figures. Hmm?
Who shot first?
Fucking Han Solo shot first.
Thank you. He's an asshole.
What were you talking about?
Because he's a scoundrel.
Because have you seen the versions where Greedo shoots first?
And hits him in the foot?
Yeah, the ones that
he shoots the wall.
But it looks like it hits him in the foot.
Han Solo doesn't, because the original footage is he sits there like this, and they show it like this. Like he didn't even flinch.
Yeah, all that redoing stuff is pretty dumb. I mean, some of the I was fine with the little things they did to like make Mos Eisley seem more involved, and you know the stuff in the background. I was fine with all of that, but like the Greedo shooting first, the unnecessary inclusion of Jabba, because the whole thing it's like the same as the director's cut of Aliens. Why it's not as good as the theatrical, in my opinion, and it's the same thing with the Jabba thing. It's like it's better if you just hear about him until you finally see him in the third one. You didn't. It was useless to put him in that third one. And it's the same.
What do you
thing
think is the best out of the first three
of Star Wars?
Yeah,
I know that.
You better not say the fucking Empire Strikes Back.
No. Because I'll give you my take on it. As a kid, it's like the Temple of Doom thing. You know, flips were all the rage when you were a kid. And in Return of the Jedi, when he does that awesome thing, he shows up. That's still to me one of the best like entrances of a character. And you really talk about character growth and development. He's back on his home world, but he's like dressed in black. He's all calm.
Yeah, he just chokes those guys when he gets the cool ass fucking black suit.
He's got the robotic arm and shit. Yeah. He's got the green lightsaber that he built himself when he found the book out at old Ben's cabin with the crystals. Yeah. He actually had to manufacture.
So answer the question: which is your favorite?
I really like Return of the Jedi. Empire is a better movie, though.
Thank you.
Return of the Jedi is better.
Here's the problem:
Empire is better structured. Here's the problem: and there's more Yoda stuff, and that
Empire,
really gets
okay. Empire sets shit up better, but like Return of the Jedi is just way cooler.
No, it's just so cool.
Yeah,
Star Wars, when you go back and look at it, is really kind of like half-assed a little bit, just because it was his first big, huge space sci-fi thing.
I think A New Hope was half-assed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Just that one?
So then Empire Strikes Back, and you start off in a whole different world, which is that awesome ice.
It's 3 years later.
Yeah. And all the different cool stuff happens.
He's a commander.
With the big Yeti thing and tries to get him in the
Tauntaun.
Yeah. And, no, the Tauntaun.
Tauntaun's what he rides. It's the Wampa.
All that cool different stuff, and there's invaders there, and there's the big robot walking.
The AT-ATs, the all-terrain armored transports.
But then when they go off,
he even knows the shit.
And they actually amp up the tension. They actually are able to amp up the tension by making the thing where they get caught in the cloud city.
One of the things that always is like a big thing to me is when he spins that thing around fucking AT-AT and falls over.
Yeah, totally.
And then like when he crashes, he goes and he shoots that shit up into the bottom of it and he like rappels up there. He takes care of business. In Return of the Jedi, he's even cooler.
In the Return of the Jedi, though, he's cooler in just the first part. So they do the first part in the snow in Empire Strikes Back, and there's a cool first part in the desert in Return of the Jedi. After that's over,
when Boba Fett falls into the fucking...
Yeah. And that's the only time he hears his name,
Then it goes into this thing. It goes into this three-story thing where they go, hey, here's Lando and this dude with big lips. Hey, here's Han Solo in the jungle. Hey, here's Luke talking to the Emperor for 55 minutes. And they go back and forth like this. They go back and forth like that in three stories over here, which are utterly boring to me.
They explain, dude.
And then slowly they all weave together and everything.
All three
blows
of them eventually
space,
have action,
right?
They all have their moments.
They all weave together and blow up in space.
I mean, the lightsaber duel in Empire is way better than the one in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's kind of weak in Return of the Jedi.
It's not much to it.
Which do you think is the best out of the last three that came out? The third one, obviously.
I didn't like the third one that much.
You didn't like Revenge of the Sith?
I'm kind of a Star Wars apologist because I actually didn't completely hate the new three ones.
I liked all of them.
I won't say that I disliked any of them. I know that they had their weak. They definitely have weak moments.
I think that the best lightsaber duel in the new ones is I really like the one with Dooku. In
I like the ones that Anakin Skywalker weren't involved with.
Mm-hmm. My favorite one is Grievous and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, probably. Dude, that's my favorite for sure.
That's definitely fucking.
Obi-Wan is the best part about the.
I think.
He was a much more interesting character.
They could have picked better than Ewan McGregor.
Perfectly.
Because he played Alec Guinness's role so
even
well.
Used his voice.
Yeah, the way he talked and shit, like the way he spoke, like sounded exactly the same.
And he's so much a better actor than Anakin, than
Jumper
Christensen and all those guys that got
Jumper Christensen, that's good. I never heard that. Well, I think that was my favorite because I just like, what's his name? Grievous. I like General Grievous so much.
I really like the first one, Jar Jar and Jake Lloyd. I really like that one.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Do you remember when Qui-Gon grabs Jar Jar's tongue?
Yeah, totally. When there's cartoon tongue coming out of his
hand. Right,
yeah,
and he's like, don't do that
again.
And it
looks like Roger Rabbit.
Don't eat the fruit.
Oh, please, Eddie. Please, Eddie. Yeah, that part's cool. I like that.
It's dip.
And then the part where he's like, hey, remember all that cool space, like religion stuff I talked about? It's actually science, and there's a bunch of little robots.
Microscopic bacteria.
That was cool, too.
The Force happened. Yeah, that was idiotic.
Qui-Gon Jinn was the Richard Dawkins of the Star Wars universe. He takes it from interesting to terrible.
Yeah. He's like, midichlorians.
The midichlorian count is so high.
So who was it that was arguing with me? Maybe it was Micah. How ridiculous it was that he thought Qui-Gon Jinn was probably the most badass person in the whole thing, and then how stupid it was that Darth Maul was able to kill him, and then Obi-Wan
I like Qui-Gon
was able to get him.
I won't say
the whole thing that's always been in all the Star Wars movies and is the duality of dark and light is that when fighting a Sith Lord, the any Jedi has ever only gotten an upper hand when he opened himself up to the dark side. And that's what Obi-Wan does. He gets enraged. And
he beats it. He's like killed his master. Yeah. So he's
Return of the Jedi, they make it abundantly clear because Luke
gets batshit
and he's using two hands like using it like a bludgeoning tool,
and
he cuts his arm off.
He
sees the duality. He's like, oh yeah, what do you know? I'm literally becoming you.
He says, "We're not so different, you and I."
And then
in the comics though, like. There's like comics where Darth Maul like lives, like he gets cut in half, but he has like a robotic like lower body and like all
he
that
on a feather.
I mean, if you get into the comics and everything, like Luke goes dark side later on in the whole Dark Empire.
All that shit, it can go either way. Like the comics, they're so, like it's such a vast
really evolved,
universe.
Yeah.
Like they make it so big. Like
the thing they portrayed the best, I think, is that.
But they left out Corellia, and that always pissed me off. I always wanted to see Corellia.
Is that from Qui-Gon to Anakin, from Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan to Anakin to Luke, there's like a continual like dip that goes like down in from the spirituality to like the more logical to the more like kind of angry and like
emotional,
and then back up to Luke who's not quite so much.
Luke is very emo in the first movie.
He's like,
I want to go with my friend.
He's in between Anakin and Obi-Wan in where he like understands things, and so he's less emotional than Anakin was, but he's also less logical than Obi-Wan was, and he's right in between. So he has just enough like
he's the
logic and
do
self-restraint
both.
To be able to win in the end of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like because he has as much talent.
All I know is that Hayden Christensen is a piece of shit.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Except
rough.
For Broken Glass.
Broken Glass
I like
was
that
awesome.
Movie.
Well, yeah, the whole thing Lucas always said is that in the first three movies, Luke Skywalker's kind of being pushed along the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like being told what to do.
Yeah, right.
Kind of. He's a victim of circumstances, and he reacts. And I mean, he's. But Luke's whole point is that like Luke doesn't really make a decision for himself until the end of Return, when he just sort of decides not to kill his dad, and he just sort of boldface tells the Empire, you know, I'm done, and he throws his lightsaber away. He's like, that's where he finally turns the corner and says, you know, like, no, I'm in charge now, you know, so be it, and then he gets electrocuted.
Right. Well, the thing is, I think the one thing about
Palpatine's
that
is pretty sweet too.
He is.
Pay for your lack of vision.
one thing I think they did weird about that is that they start Jedi with him being an ultimate calm, serene, like monk badass.
Well, like he's right? but he is a badass because and this is the great thing. He's not dressed in the brown robes of the Jedi. He's dressed black like his dad.
Right.
And he like the first thing he does.
He's got that sweet Dorothy Hamill hair.
He doesn't do a mind thing to the Gamorrean guards. He does what his dad does. He chokes those guys.
Yeah, right.
He chokes them both out.
But here's the thing. He's presented as someone who absolutely knows his shit. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the movie is him losing it again and then like having to gain it back to get to
Well, no,
he doesn't lose
he
it,
doesn't,
but I mean,
he's like very convinced that he can bring his dad back. And it's the whole like it's the same as with the point is that
the second and the third one are written so much better than the first or the fifth, sixth, seventh, because they were written by like actual screenwriters. And Lucas was like, hey, write me this movie. Here's the story. And they're like, all right. And then they make the characters all good and stuff. Then Lucas is like, oh, I can do what he did for like the fifth, sixth, and seventh. And it's like, you know, it's Jake Lloyd.
Which one? He directed the first one. He didn't direct the last two, did he?
He didn't direct.
He didn't direct.
He
I know
direct
he didn't.
Six and seven.
He didn't direct Revenge of the Sith, did he?
Yeah, oh, he directed.
Yeah, he wrote and directed one, two, three, four. And four.
And four.
Okay. I didn't know he directed all of those.
And he's
Revenge of the Sith was
I think
less...
Lucas is great for idea, but you're right. There needs to be someone that
he
works
somebody
with.
Somebody else who actually knows how films are made.
Yeah, to structure the story stuff. Like Lawrence Kasdan in Empire and in Return.
Fantastic screenwriter, first of all.
And yeah, definitely. The direction for Return, I mean, and the direction for Empire is not particularly... No, neither one of those directors went on to really do much. Kish went on to do RoboCop 2, right. And the other guy promptly went and died. And I think he was kind of. I think the movie was kind of like directed in editing by Lucas. I think Return was.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, the main thing was that he wasn't there taking angles and stuff like that. And like,
well, I like his visual aesthetic. THX 1138, which is super minimal.
I've never seen
that.
I still have never seen
the aesthetic is fantastic, and I've seen
American
Graffiti.
That's fine. His problem is getting actors to act.
Yeah,
American Graffiti, it's fine because I think I remember reading that he was extremely minimal with that. Like he just let them kind of dictate.
Well, he was minimal, but there's a scene where. There's a story about, because I wrote a paper about American Graffiti, where he had it's the one where the guy with glasses is trying to buy the alcohol.
The nerdy guy.
And the guy comes out of the thing and he just robbed the store and he tosses the bottle to him.
Right.
They shot that like 57 times because he was waiting for the right feel of like the guy to just like barely catch it, and the one he uses is like the one where the guy's like, whoop, you know, like feels really naturalistic. Right. So I mean. There's a certain kind of, you can watch kind of, a certain kind of fall from grace, if you will, on Lucas's aesthetic from like THX and American Graffiti.
The reason why
it
took 57 takes, though, is because this is how he's always been. The joke about him is, this is how he tells an actor.
Faster, more
intense. He says, like, that was good. I want you to do the same thing, but do it better. That's like the bare minimum joke about like how he told.
What
like
he really
Mark
says
Hamill
is like,
Mark Hamill said that he did that to him once. He was like, "That was great. I like your intensity and stuff. I want you to do it again, but do it better."